going to read again, Psalm 8:4. I think you'll do it by this time, don't you? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even faint for the court and Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out to the living God. Yea, the sparrow is found in house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altar, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man with strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passes through the valley of Baca, made it a well, the rain also fills the pool. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appears before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For I did in thy cause the best in the town. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word to your heart tonight. And now we wander in circle of thoughts around one or two scriptures here. It might be a real help to us in a practical way in our everyday living. We'll be looking these past days at God's prescription for real true lasting happiness. We notice the prescription and the ingredients in this prescription. Those who are not with us on Wednesday, I want just to go back over them. Here we are in verse number 1 with the recognition of God in the life. In verse number 2, you have the desire for God. And in verse number 6, you have walking with God. In verse number 8, speaking to God. And then in verse number 12, trusting in God. Now that is the prescription. And these are the ingredients. We were looking at one ingredient on Sunday morning and in Sunday evening. We'll take another look at it tonight. The recognition of God in the life. In verse number 1, we recognize him as the God of power. The God of power. In verse number 3, the God of provision. Also in verse number 3, the God of preeminence. He is my King and my God. Then in verse number 8, the God of purpose. God's great purpose in saving our souls. Then verse number 11, the God of protection. Seeing we want to go on where we left off in the evening, in connection with the God of preeminence. I thank God for the exercise of many of your hearts as a result of the Lord's Day meeting, and for those who are concerned about the secret of that victorious living as a result of being utterly yielded to and controlled by the Holy Spirit himself. Now remember, brethren, that's the only way we can really know real joy, real peace, real victory, real purity in our hearts and in our lives is by allowing the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to infill and to control and to dominate every part of our lives. Now, his great mission in indwelling us is that he will not speak of himself, but he's come to manifest and to magnify the Lord Jesus in us and through us to the glory of God the Father. Remember how the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 11, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in or through our mortal flesh. And that's only possible as the Holy Spirit who indwells us is allowed to control us and to dominate us. Now let me ask you again tenderly tonight, has there been a moment in your life as a Christian when you've got away by yourself and said, Lord, I know that my body is a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit who is in me. Now, has that truth dawned upon you, not merely as a doctrine, not merely as a text of Scripture, but as a living, vital reality that in your heart and in my heart, we really know that the Holy Spirit has taken up his abode, that his Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. For the Bible is crystal clear. It says, if ye have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit came into our life the very moment we were born again. When my all I ventured on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered and I was born of God. And now here's a great joy, and I want to think through. Remember in John chapter 7, we read, the Lord Jesus is speaking, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Then he goes on to say, that he that drinketh the water that I shall give him, shall have in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Now I'm quoting John 4, verse 14. But now going back to John 7, verse 38, this is what you read. But in this state he of the Spirit. For the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. And he also said in the very same scripture, that from your inner man, and from my inner man, shall flow forth rivers of living water. Your life and my life will prove to be a bright outshining of the indwelling Christ. May his beauty rest upon me, that I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him. Oh, to be saved for myself, dear Lord, oh, to be lost in thee, oh, that may be no more I, but Christ, who lives in me. May I repeat that again? This day he of the Spirit. For the Spirit has not yet been given. Why? Because that Christ was not yet glorified. May I say this very tenderly? There are many of God's beloved people who are really saved, really born again by God's Spirit, but they don't know the joy of this wonderful fullness. They don't know the joy of the abundant life. Simply because the Spirit who indwells us has not been allowed to enthrone Christ, Lord of all. Remember the practical illustration we gave on Sunday evening regarding the coronation of the Queen, and how the earth, and a bit of a crow, my foot. The Archbishop said, as it appears, as he presented Elizabeth to them, gentlemen, I present to you Her Royal Highness Elizabeth. Are you now ready to pay us homage? And with one voice and one heart we said, we are now ready, crowned queen. And many of us, the Lord, this evening were faced up with the very same challenge. As Christ was presented to our heart in the energy of the Holy Spirit through the servant was saying, are you now willing to enthrone him, Lord of all? And what was your answer, Lord, this evening? We could not stay neutral at this particular point. And it was either, Lord, I am willing, crown him, Lord of all. And that then the Holy Spirit takes over, and he does the enthroning, according to 1 Peter 3:15, what it says, that Christ may be sanctified as Lord, where? In our heart, by whom? By the Holy Spirit. Now that's what he wants to do in your life and in my life. He wants that Christ might be enthroned, Lord of all. So we sung just now, or rather we had it received for us, but we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. And therein lies the whole secret, my brother, my sister. If you want to know God's plan, God's purpose for your life, then it means everything upon the altar, without reserve, without condition. And that being so, then we shall know what is good and perfect and acceptable will. Let's come a little closer now to that topic for our heart. But before I leave it, may I ask you again, have you come to that place in your life when you have enthroned the Lord Jesus as Lord in your heart? And have you really prayed, reign over me, Lord Jesus, reign over all within, make me a loyal subject to thee in everything. In full and glad surrender, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth live, O Christ, for thee alone. In the life of each believer, there is a throne and there is a cross. If Christ is upon the cross and self is upon the throne, there is no real peace. There is no real joy. There is no real victory. There is no real fruit. But when it takes the other turn, and Christ is upon the throne, and self is upon the cross, then there's an inward tranquility. There's an inward serenity. There's an inward joy. There's an inward peace the world cannot give nor take away. But, O beloved, recognizing the truth of that fact, your life will then be fruitful. You shall enter into the joy of the abundant life through faith in Christ. May I give you an illustration? Alas, it is borrowed. In fact, Mr. Harold Wildish, when we sometimes minister together, he uses an illustration. I want to quote it. Here it is. Sitting on the top of a mountain is a little piece of thunder. And the thunder says to the mountain, I am greater than you are. The mountain said, greater than I am? How do you make that up? But a little piece of thunder is perfectly correct. Whereas the mountain's no life of herb, the little piece of thunder has got vegetable life. So you're going around the dusty lane, looking over into the meadow, you see there a majestic oak. And sitting right on the top of that oak is a little ladybug. I call them ladybirds, but you call them ladybugs, don't you? But there they are, sitting on the top of the oak, and all of a sudden a ladybug says, I'm greater than you are. The oak is greater than I am. What do you see, my wonderful, powerful branches, and all the wonderful timber, and all the beautiful leaves? The little ladybug is perfectly correct, you know. Whereas the oak has only got vegetable life, the little ladybug has organic life. But you go to the zoo. You can go. I don't mind going to the zoo. I'm terrified they keep me. But you can go. Donna wanted to take me to the zoo yesterday morning after, you know, that's what the ocean said. I said, I don't want to be kept there, but you're all right, you see. But you go to the zoo. I'm going into the zoological garden gate. I can see there a little while. All of a sudden, you see great big Jumbo. And Jumbo's there, but going up on Jumbo's back is a little boy. It's 18 months, 2 years, probably 2.5 years old. And, oh, he says to Jumbo, Jumbo, I'm greater than you are. Jumbo is greater than I am. What belongs to my really powerful body? My four powerful legs, and the trumpet one there, and the tail of the other. And you see, it's greater than I. But you know, Jumbo's perfectly correct. I mean, his boy's perfectly correct, you know. But if Jumbo has only got animal life, the little boy has got human life, animal life, and a greater degree, of course. But then, a boy, an 18-year-old, who's been working for a professor, in fact, he's still working for a professor, but on a Sunday evening, he's been along to the gospel meeting. He's heard a clear, simple statement of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried on the third day, and he rose again from among the dead. And how, placing our trust in that living person, one of the King Jebus has alive forevermore, and placing our confidence and trust in him, and receiving him by faith into our heart, we will have eternal life. We'll be saved. And thank God that boy believed that testimony. He exercised faith in Jesus Christ, and he was gloriously converted. So next morning, going into the lab, there he finds the professor very busy in some research. They go here somewhat timidly, saying to him, Professor, yes, Professor, I'm greater than you are.
The professor stopped what he did. He did a statement, stopped sitting down. Greater than I am, bigger than I am. He says, yes, I know who you are, all right, professor, but still I'm bigger than you are. Well, how'd you make that up? Well, last night I went along to the gospel meeting. I heard that they had the gospel tidings, and I believe them, and that it's through Christ, my Lord and Savior. And sir, I haven't only got human life, but I got both human life and spiritual life. Sir, I'm alive from above. Sir, I've been born again by God's Spirit. Sir, and sir, you've only got human life, but I got both human life and spiritual life. Now the boy is perfectly correct. But now I'm coming right into this group tonight here. There are not too many of us here, but I'm going to bring it right down here. Now I'm speaking tonight with all professors, that is, with all faith of trust in Lord Jesus, that is, we've all received him as our own Lord and Savior. Should it be one here who is praying to his love and to his grace, may I tell you, frankly, you've never yet started to live. You're just existing. And remember, when you were born to this world, yet all of us, we weren't all there when you were born. Yeah. I'm saying it. We weren't all there when we were born. What do you mean? Well, man is a tripartite being, made up of spirit and soul and body. And when God said to Adam, if thou shalt eat it thereof, thou shalt surely die, that then if Adam and Eve partook of that forbidden fruit, they died. Or says someone, that's not true. For Adam lived well over 900 years and he had sons and daughters. My friends know they did not die physically, they died spiritually. And from that moment to the last baby born in the world, that spirit power is dead toward God. And that's why we must be born again. Please get this deep down yourself. And also in the book of Proverbs says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And when Adam sinned in that garden, that candle was snuffed out. That light was snuffed out. So not only are we by nature in a condition of spiritual death, but also in a condition of spiritual ignorance and spiritual darkness. Not only dead, but in darkness. And that's why when we're born again by God's Spirit, we are quickened into life, and that spirit chamber of ours, which is in darkness, is illuminated by the incoming of the light of the world. And that's what happens when we're born again, that then we receive life, which is life from above, that then we receive a spiritual life, eternal life. That spirit part of us knows God now, we commune with God, we address him as our own Father. Oh, but aren't we all the children of God? Isn't God the Father of all mankind? Certainly not. He's the creator of all mankind. He's only the Father who believe in his Son. Galatians 3:26 says, now are ye the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. John 1:12. But to as many as received him, to them did he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For he said, born, not of blood, not of the will of flesh and the will of man, but of being born of God. What is it easy born of God? That means I receive his very life. I become a partaker of the divine nature. I receive his life. And that spirit part of mine is quickened into life. And I receive life. And so tonight we can triumphantly say, life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life. Glory to Jesus forever. Now, when we were born in this world, you can't remember it, you can not. But when we were born in the world, we in the life of Jesus, corresponding with the sphere in which we were coming. We were coming into an earthly sphere, so was an earthly life given to us. Say yes. Now, how did you live in the watery element? Then that we've been swimming about with little things going, or tail behind us. But we were not to live in the watery element. We were to live in an earthly sphere, so was an earthly life given to us. So I can see that. That's quite sound logic. Now, pause a minute, do you? Heaven is a heavenly sphere. It's a spiritual sphere. Flesh and blood will never inherit the kingdom of God. And beloved, no matter how clean, how cultured, how refined, how consecrated or dedicated that love of yours may be, I want to tell you, no matter how religious or sanctimonious, no matter how many religious observances the orders have gone through, no matter how goody-goody you may be, my friend, unless you've been born again by God's Spirit, that empty life will never fit you for that heavenly sphere. It's a spiritual sphere, it's a heavenly sphere. But the moment you receive Christ and you're born from above, that's the term, you're born from above, that moment you receive life, it's not a case of becoming religious, not a case of obeying some commandment, or receiving some creed, it's a case of receiving a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. May I help you? And the moment you receive the Lord Jesus, as your own personal Savior, says 1 John 5:11, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. So it's not a case of merely believing about Christ. That will never bring life. We must believe into him and receive him by faith into our heart. And the moment we receive him, that moment we receive life. I was in Riverside recently down the same beautiful state, and after meeting a young woman who had been brought up in a Christian home. Father is a businessman, but a very full-time teacher. He's very active in the Lord's work, and this girl was a Sunday school teacher. She was a counselor at the camp. She had gone to an AIDS Bible school. The last Thursday night down at Riverside, that girl found out she had never been saved at all. She found out she had never been saved at all. She knew the feeling, she knew the text of scripture, or she knew the phraseology, and everything she passed with a good barnage before everyone else, and it seemed, and everybody thought she was a Christian. But my friend, listen, God's scripture over the near. God took her from her profession, and she came up to recognize she was trying to live her life she had never professed. She never possessed. That your girl had gone off a meeting and tried to dedicate herself to Christ, tried to dedicate herself, and nothing happened. It didn't fit. It didn't work. She remembered probably at the camp meeting, probably after 2 weeks, everything was wonderful, you know. It was really wonderful. No, this didn't fit again. It didn't work. She didn't understand what was wrong. In that inquiry room, she had been dealt with by a young school teacher, somewhat older than herself. The two of them were absolutely in tears. We went into that inquiry room. She began to tell us a story. I know the girl very well. The girl I greatly regard for. Now, I greatly regard for her tonight than ever before because of her honesty and absolute sincerity. And as a teenager, she absolutely hated her mom and dad. She hated them. Because the child was even the way she was in Christ Jesus. And the child, she rebelled. Inside the heart of her was a spirit of rebellion. She rebelled against the Bible reading at the table when the family gathered together. When she saw a sister, a younger sister, reading the Bible, having a quiet time. The city, trying to make a fool of me, that's all she's doing. Trying to show up before me, that's all. And all of you going on in her heart. And she rebelled. She listened to Mr. Wilder's yell at night. What the hell is he yelling at? What is he yelling at? What's he got to yell about? There's all rebellion in her heart, And she got on. Until that night, the Spirit of God laid hold upon her. And she said, Uncle Jim, is it possible I'm not saved at all? Is it possible I'm not saved at all? I said, that's what I believe in that. You've never been saved at all. And you're trying to dedicate flesh to Christ, and he says, all flesh that come before me, I will destroy. He wants to dedicate a new life that you don't have. Getting down on knees, that you're looking right through for Jesus Christ. To receive him as our Lord and Savior. I said that this last Thursday night, that was the Thursday before. Last week, down in Garden Grove, the very same thing happened. And my friend, time after time, I am coming across not only young people, older people, who are finding out they've only got a profession, they know text of scripture, but there's no life. There's no vital link between their heart and Christ, and they don't know Christ. They don't know him. They know about him, but they don't know him. And there's no life. My brother, my sister, may you search your heart not in the presence of God. You're trying to live a victorious, happy, joyful Christian life, a fruitful life. The great question is, have you got that life to start with? Are you really born again? A lot of people come out, I've heard there's a very sore backslider, and they come out from chanting, all the dances so miserably, I think that down and down. Thank God. God has given us the spirit to be able to diagnose the case and to discern the case. And we know when a person is really a true believer, there's definitely backslidden. But it needs to know those who are just professors never stood forward at all. They've never stood forward. They've never really been born again at all. And they come to try to be restored. It's not restoration. They need to be made right. Need right to be born again. And thank God for those who are coming around. I let it call us something, in the sender to Christ not long ago. I've been a correspondent for years. Been a preacher preaching the gospel for years. Brought up in a Christian home. You all the stop crazy. You all the crazyology. Even the little boy to tell people the gospel. He went on like that. Went on like that. And so this particular Saturday night, they're sitting in the Valley of Dry Bones at a rally for Christians. Both in quite a room for Texas, the pastor, with men and women reading their hearts are Christians getting right with God. Christians getting right with God. You see, that's where it starts. Revival doesn't start with an ingathering soul. That's the outcome of revival. Revival starts with you. Revival starts with me. If we want to see a mighty movement of the Spirit of God right here in the Bay Area, and going to spread the father of fields, it must start in your heart, it must start in my heart. He's come to sing, oh Lord, send a mighty revival. And start that revival in me. That night, that correspondent came forward. Tears rolling down his face. He said, Jim, what I feared for years has come to pass. Said, what is it? He said, I know in my own heart, I've never been born again. But because my father and all the others are all Christians and all outstanding preachers, I didn't want anyone to know that was a fear in my soul. He said, I can go on like this. And he said, Jim, I must be born again. And that man, my friend, got down to Sodom. He came right through for Jesus Christ, his glory to confer me. That was the Saturday, I baptized him along with a crowd of others on the Monday night. And at that previous baptismal service, that man had given the ministry. He knew well in a theoretical way that Christ wasn't a living honest in his heart. Knowing you, the coming again of the Lord Jesus, are you really saved? Are you really born again? And have you just got stopped crazy? I know John 3:16, hallelujah, I know John 3:16. Romans, oh yes, I know Romans 7:9. John, oh yes, John, I believe all these. And you can believe all these and go to hell. And yet go to hell. My friend, believing a text of scripture will never save your soul. You must place your faith in a person, that person is Jesus Christ. And you must receive that person by faith into your heart. And when you receive him, you receive life. Not life is going to manifest itself. That life will manifest itself. And you tell me you're a born again Christian, your life may have been changed or transformed, but something radically wrong with professing faith in Christ. Radically wrong. But tonight, many of us here, I trust all of us, can say, I know what he's saying perfectly true. But thank God I know I'm born again. Thank God I know I've passed from death unto life. Thank God I know I've come from darkness into light. And I know Christ is a living eternity in my heart and in my life. He is mine. Do you know him? And can you truthfully say it's no longer I, but Christ that liveth in me? Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth where? In heaven, Christ liveth in me. We sometimes sing, he walks with me, he talks with me, a long, long snout away. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. No one changed my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Have you received him? Then you can power to become the Son of God. And what God has to know, you're a child of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Or we shall see him as he is. Now let me ask you, I come back to this little illustration I was giving you. It's possible that in this grand group tonight, that someone may go to another and say, they would never do so because it proved wasn't true. Go up and say, I'm greater than you are. be passing. I know we'll never do a thing like that. What I'm getting is this. Christ said, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. I believe every born-again Christian has life. But every born-again Christian is not in the enjoyment of the abundant life. No, why? Because Christ is not Lord. Christ is not Lord. The moment we receive Christ, the moment we receive life. The moment we allow the Holy Spirit to enthrone Christ, Lord of all, that moment we enter into the joy of the abundant life. That will save my father, tell you. Now for a week now, have we just got life? We're just into the wicked gate, and that's all. The little boy comes trying to go, his mother, he got upstairs to bed and got into bed, you know, and his mother went up to the customer to tuck him well in tonight, and she didn't kiss him good night before she went to her own room. He did this sequence he's doing this, by the way. This night she went up to do so, when she got up there, lo and behold, she found him fast asleep on the floor. On the floor. So she picked him up bodily, put him back in the bed, and tucked him in and said, next morning, George, when I came upstairs last night to kiss you good night and tuck you in, I found you fast asleep on the floor. How did you get there? Why, said Mummy, I must have gone to kiss you near the place I got in. I know a lot of Christians like that, but in my mother, they've gone to sleep. They've gone to sleep. They got life right enough, but it's not life in abundance. It's not life in abundance. Oh, they've given Christ a praise, but they've never given him the preeminent praise. They've given him a praise, maybe the prominent praise, but they haven't given him preeminent praise, not Lord overall. The one blessed forevermore. My brother and my sister, where is Christ in your heart and mind? Have you just got him in the attic? Or is he on the throne? Is he controlling your mind by the Holy Spirit tonight? Is he like, he may manifest in us and to us the glory of God. The Father. That's a very important point. Now, with that before my heart, I want you to sit down with me to verse number 8. Verse number 8. This is now, O God, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. Now, no wonder Selah comes in here. No wonder we got to pause and think of that. Because it does not say, O God of Israel, it's O God of Jacob. The man of Jacob was the old sister. Jacob was the old supplanter. Jacob could not be relied upon. He is a real sister. You know, Jacob tried to cheat his father-in-law. He did it once, but his father-in-law cheated him 10 times in turn. Never try to cheat your in-law. It never worked. It never worked. And so we found this with Jacob. He tried this, you know. So remember that wonderful picture here. I want you to get this, that this is God's great purpose in saving your soul and mind. Please, it's not a mere sad escape from hell. Oh no. Oh no. It's not a case of just saving you going down to eternal burning. Oh no. And one day saving you in heaven. I said the other evening that a very negative, cruel way of preaching the gospel. God's great purpose in saving your soul and mind is this, and get it, is that his son who is received by faith in your heart, his life might be relived and reproduced in you and in me for the glory of God the Father. God wants the life of his son relived in the home, in the office, in the school, on the campus, so that as a teacher, a professor, or a student, a mother, a child, whatever the case of father, whatever the case may be, that through your life and my life, there may be a reproduction of the life of Christ. Remember that beautiful little booklet. I like to put in the hands of everyone here tonight. The booklet is this, written by Jack Chapman. Born to reproduce. Born to reproduce. And that's why we're born again. We're born to reproduce. Is your life a productive life? Is your life really producing? Is your life really manifesting the life of Christ? Now get this deep down in the soul. Jacob, the old sister, the unreliable one, who could not be depended upon at all. But remember there was a time when Jacob's life, and there was a crisis. that Christ has came into his life, and the Christ was this. A famine was drenched on the Jacob, remember, and then the breaking of the day. And then remember how Jacob kept clinging on. He kept clinging. He said, I will not let thee go. I will not let thee go until thou strike me. And the place of clinging became the place of contention. And he complained. And when he said, what is thy name? He knew nothing about me now, nobody here now, no hypocrisy now. He said, I'm Jacob. I'm the old sister. I'm the old supplanter. And the one who can only be depended upon, I'm Jacob. And then the place of contention became the place of breaking. Remember, and Jacob was broken at his strongest point. Broken at his strongest point. And that may be tonight the reason why you have never really entered in. And possessed the possession in Christ. And may the reason why, because you're not enjoying what God knows in Christ, is because you've never been broken. And God knows the strongest point in your life tonight. And if you're willing to be broken, he's willing to break you right there. Right there. I don't know what it may be, or who it may be, but coming in and entering you from entering into possessions in Christ, and being all the fullness of yours in Christ, he gave it all his brothers, but Jacob was broken, and the place of breaking became the place of blessing. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you get the outline? The place of clinging became the place of contention. The place of contention became the place of breaking, and the place of breaking became the place of blessing. Now, do you want God's blessing? You too must be broken. We too must be broken. And God's got his own way of doing the breaking. He really has. But my friend, if you want God's blessing for your life, there's a price to be paid. A price to be paid means everything upon the altar. But we never can prove that the light of his love unto all on the altar he lay. Are we willing for this tonight? Are you just going to go drifting through life without any aim, without any purpose, without any plan, without God's blueprint for your life, and a square hanging around hole? Are you going to know God's plan for your life, God's blueprint for your life, those who are an orbit life, a controlled life, a dominated life? This is all possible in the energy of a non-greed Holy Spirit. Pardon me. What does the angel say? Rise up, ye no more Jacob, but Israel. No more the supplanter, but the Prince of God. The Prince of God. You'll be a power with God. You'll be a power with man. You'll prevail with God. You'll prevail with man. And beloved, listen. Only as I know the joy of that priestly character of going here and getting along with the Lord Jesus. And this is one of the first evidences that I am really in the enjoyment of this new life. I delight to be alone with the Lord. I delight to be in His presence. I delight to know His will for me through His Word. And the Word of God becomes a real living Bible book to my heart. Not here near dry dust. Oh no, telling me a duty and trying to drive myself to read through verses of Scripture. Oh no, when Christ becomes Lord, there's a new appetite. There's a new desire, there's a new longing, a new delight in getting alone in His presence. And we know the joy of really gripping God for man than going out and living man for God. We know the joy of having victory and private with God and going out to gathering the spoils and for His own glory. My God Almighty, forget the deep down with you. The Bible says it shall be no more, no more Jacob. You young Christians, study again the wonderful no more of the Scripture. The no more of the Scripture. The senses. And please remember, when it comes to no more, there's something far better in store. Remember, no more Jacob. What was the beginning? Israel. The Egyptians whom you see today, you see them again. No more. Get this. The Egyptians whom you've seen today, you'll see them again. No more. Forever. Have you gone to the cross? Have you seen the enemies stripped there upon that cross? He stripped principalities and powers of the northern shores and climbing over in his pathway. The enemies. The old fear of the old life, the world, Satan, hell, and all the mighty forces of evil. Have you seen them there? Have you taken a last look at them? The Egyptians whom you've seen today, you'll see again no more, forever. Then you go on, no more a servant but a son. It's no more I but Christ. And all the joy. Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. forever. Oh, study no more of the Scripture. Stand with both feet upon them. Enter into the Jordan by faith. What peace, what light will bring into your heart, dear young Christian. Now, why don't we get this? We cross into the mind here, chapter 44, we read again another name. The name is Jeshurun. Jacob, Israel, Jeshurun. Jacob was a planter. I remember the story, James used the very same thing, by the way. James and Jacob was a planter, the old sister. There it is. But now there is Jacob, the old sister. Here now, no more Jacob. My reference to get into a soul or not. There must come a crisis in your life. And in my life. And we're going to go on with God. Are you going to be the man God wants you to be? Or the woman God wants you to be? This crisis must come. And it becomes no more all. Our old man was, in the past tense, was crucified with cross. But the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, it is no more self-sin. They shall not have dominion over you. What a wonderful thing. Pause a moment. That's Jeshurun now. You know what Jeshurun means? You know what it means? I wonder if I can see it properly. I try to, but it just means my darling. That's the honor. My darling. That's all it means. That's right. Well, you see. So what does darling mean? Hmm? What does that mean? Tell me again. Very good. Very good. Next thing. That's what it means. It means my upright one, my soft one, my only one. Can I give you a statement? The husband's going to work in the morning. The wife goes to the gate with him to kiss him goodbye. She doesn't talk to him. See, I'm talking about the good old-fashioned days, you know. When the men went to work in the morning, and the wife went to the gate with him, but these days, the wife goes to work and the men stay at home. The good old-fashioned days I'm talking about, you know. And when the wife goes and kisses him goodbye, goodbye, darling. Now, what does it mean? It just means this. He's going into the busy city, he's going to come in contact with all different types of people during the course of the day, and you're my suffering bond. I can depend upon you, I can rely upon you. On the other hand now, he's leaving it in the home. He's going to come in contact with all different types of people during the course of the day, but you're my suffering bond. I can depend upon you, I can rely upon you, you're my upright one, you're my only one. No more Jacob, who couldn't be depended upon. But now Jeshurun, the coming between is the prince, Israel, the prince of God, the Christ has taken place. No more Jacob, but Jeshurun. And what comes next? And I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and there will be floods upon the dry ground. Get it? My brother, my sister, she wants the wilderness of your little life to blossom like a rose. She wants springs of living water springing up in your soul. For this bond, she wants fertile fields and beautiful fruit, luscious fruit to the glory of God. Here it is then. When he can cross us, when he can cross us, we're seeing a moment ago, cross and obey. That's our part of it. That's our part of it. But when he can cross us, then beloved, there shall be blood upon dry ground. There shall be springs in the desert. There shall be springs of living water. There shall be fruit to the glory of God. And this is God's great purpose in saving your soul and mine. Got that? That's God's great purpose in saving your soul and mine. You know, the Christian life is a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. Do you know this life? Really deep down in your own heart. And did Jesus think, well, I'm saved from hell? Hallelujah. That's wonderful to see hallelujah for there. And you're saved for the purpose. And God's great purpose in saving us through this, and the life of His Son that we realize through your body, my body, day by day. Let me Christ come simply through your thoughts, willing through your will, looking out through your eyes, compassion upon the multitude. Christ using your lips and using your lips to speak for His praise, to sing for His praise, to tell out the message of redeeming love. And Christ is very similar to the very rightly down just in your church. Christ is very, as He becomes Christ walking around with two letters, and becomes Christ in form, Christ in order, Christ taking His place behind that dead, Christ giving that title, Christ giving that sin, Christ giving that dress. It's Christ, only Christ, in every look and in every action. He becomes Christ walking around in two letters. What a difference that makes when we recognize that truth, when the Holy Spirit makes that real to us. Not I, Christ. I was speaking at a church convention some time ago. Please don't turn me up on that. But I was speaking at a church convention. And sometime afterward, during the interval, a man came walking down the aisle and he said, I saw something today I've never seen before. And I said, what is that? He said, I'm a secret smoker. He said, I didn't say a word about smoking, did I? I said, I'm in a peaceful condemning negative way. I said, my ministry is a positive ministry. No, he said, I know you say, what about serving? He said, when you spoke about Christ being the light of your life, and Christ's light giving down to a single kiss, he said, that was not for me. I could never think of his pure life being a nicotine, and I'll never smoke again. And he never had. That very same day, two women were sitting weeping in the aisle of that church, weeping their hearts out, weeping each other's shoulders. Someone said, will you go across from the storm with the women? Now, I'm very careful about doing that. Very careful. I have enough to do with the dragon without trying to do the women's problem. But somewhat similar, I went along this day. Can I help you? They're all males, and then they got up with any more. You know, what was the matter? Well, I hated her for 3 years, and hated me for 3 years. You haven't spoken to her for 3 years. That's the word about getting lost, did I? No, but you spoke about the love life flowing through the heart. The love life's going to flow through the heart. No, I've got to go. I said, you see, that's the same thing at the same time. And then you were letting God walk through the heart. You see, when the love life begins to flow, it is what it is. I do a condemned smoking all afternoon, and never did not. I do a crisis about people not being right with one another. They never did not inside. I only let the love life flow. Now, I don't prevent this problem, maybe. I don't say my sense enough. That's your assault habit, maybe. I want to say, you're a love life that's going to happen today. If God will you do that tonight, remember your favorite approach is that purpose is going to be no longer I, but Christ in you. In you. God, that's his own self. And your life and my life must prove to be a brought out study of the indwelling Christ. Many of them will lose some of us all together. I don't know about saying very much here in San Francisco, and in this area, but as I was walking down the great North American continent, I come across another lot of Christians who are suffering from another disease. A terrible disease. It's a diabolical disease. It's a sinister disease. You know what it's called? Listen carefully. It's called perpendicular personal pronoun itis. Remember, that grief is I to the eyes, the signs of the whole life. You can't see, but this is capital I, and the capital I, and the capital I, and the whole lot becomes our eyes. The whole lot. And I wonder, is that grief is I? I, my life. What do I mean? And that whole I that we can't go for our life. It's no longer I. Can I help you? Let us live by day and crucified with Christ. Let us live by the fullness of no longer I, Christ. Let us live by dedication. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Take the last sentence. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. That sentence, himself for me. Himself for me. Himself for me. Now, read it backwards. Read it backwards. And do you believe it? It shall be me, Paul, in Christ. In this fast, this massive life, by a definite act before the Lord, thou must not henceforth, by his grace, we shall believe for himself. I meant to speak in verse number 11 regarding God of protection. Now to give you that encouraging verse, he is the sun and shield. He is the sun, he is the shield. He is the grace and he is the glory. Grace is glory in the body. Glory is grace in cool room. I like to think that we're going to one moment and teach me to the Proverbs again, how that the name of the Lord is a strong power. The righteous are anxious on their safe prayer, the saved in that strong power. May I help you? In the blood of Christ is cleansing. In the name of Christ that is complete his faith. In the name of Christ, complete his faith. I meant to be in this place that I see my time almost gone. But I leave that with you. In the club, through the blood of Christ is cleansing. In the name of Christ is complete his faith. Whatever your trial may be, whatever your difficulty may be, just look up and say, in the name of Christ, I refuse to be discouraged. When you're afraid, when the thought comes, you have to be afraid. Probably you're suffering from an inferiority complex. And really getting you down. You wonder what's wrong with you. And you're thankful one day to go into the hospital. A young man there, and he's suffering from a nervous disorder. He's an accountant. And the doctor told him, I said, I don't know any more further. I think you need a spiritual advisor. And somehow or other, he came to me, and I went down to his fellow. He said, I found he's a Christian. And he's born again. And I said, regarding certain things, maybe in his life. God revealed them, but if he dies, he claims he did away. And I said, let it go. They told you you're going to have shock treatment. I said, if you do what God's word tells you, you won't never meet the shock treatment, and you'll be better your death in 2 weeks' time. Oh, he said, that's impossible. And he said, that's impossible. I'm not fit for this job. You know, I know they give me promotion, but I'm not fit for it. I know I'm not fit for it. I said, well, listen. Christ is stripped from the thousands and powers, and we have nothing short into the cross of the old God. Satan has deceived soul. The only way he can touch you is through your body, when your body's fire. That's the only way he can touch you. Another verse is, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me out of all my fear. Now, if you get one foot on that one verse, one foot on the other verse, and then when that one thought comes into your mind, you are not sufficient for the job. Just in the name of Christ, I refuse to be afraid. When the devil comes to the part of the country, in the name of Christ, I refuse to be afraid. The name of the devil is cleansing in the blood, by the victory in that name, the name of the Lord is a strong power. Cutting my long story short, that God is that he's worth in 2 weeks' time, and he's never be God. You learn the secret of the victory in the name of Christ. And when the thought comes into your mind, whatever it may be, I want to tell you, you claim that victory through the name. In the name of Christ, I receive you the power. In the name of Christ, I receive your faith. In the name of Christ, I receive that impure thought. And then the victory through that name is not ours, but Christ. In 272,